And remember, tomorrow really does matter, and we can make a change if we start today. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. It was a huge twister.
The garage is ripped apart. There's some holes in the roof. All the windows are busted out. My neighbor's right across the street. The house is gone.
He's in Windsor, Colorado, the hardest hit of four towns visited by a tornado, said to have been a half mile wide. One person is dead. KCNC-TV reporter Rick Salinger is there.
The towns of Windsor and Gilcrest were hardest hit. Power lines are down, numerous homes damaged, and a daycare center was hit by the storm. At least two semi-trailers were blown over on a highway, and a turkey farm appears to have been destroyed by the wind.
Roads are closed, mined by the debris, and at least 60,000 power customers are without electricity. The area, about 50 miles north of Denver. Government weather experts are making their predictions for the coming hurricane season.
An above normal season is most likely, about a 65% chance, but there's still a 25% chance of a near normal season and a 10% chance of a below normal season.
Jerry Bell, lead forecaster at the Climate Prediction Center, suggests 12 to 16 named storms, 6 to 9 of them hurricanes, a couple of which could be major. In 2005, there were 27 named storms, and forecasters, some of them, said global warming could make every year that bad. The last 2 years proved nearly non-events, though, as far as impact to the U.S. was concerned. In California, more than 300 homes are being evacuated because of a wildfire pushed by high winds in the Santa Cruz Mountains. CBS's Manuel Gallegos on the threat to one small town.
Some 60 residents and 200 campers had to be evacuated. A tiny mountain community of Corralitos is threatened. Three schools have been closed, but no one's been hurt.
Officials expect that fire to explode to quadruple in size before they contain it. Workers in China are starting to take earthquake-fractured buildings down to pieces. The government put the nationwide toll of dead and missing at more than 80,000, with the confirmed death toll thus far over 51,000. Barack Obama is trying to build some bridges in an area where Democratic strategists say he has weakness, with the Jewish community. He's been holding a town hall-style meeting just concluded at a synagogue in Boca Raton, Florida.
I will personally work for two states that can live side by side in peace and security, with Israel's status as a Jewish state ensured.
It is said timing is everything, and in the end, the pigs made the arrest. An 18-year-old was trying to get away from police in a stolen SUV in Germany. The young man, more fleet of foot than the pursuing officers, dashed into the woods and shortly thereafter was hollering for help. He had run into a herd of angry wild boars, wild pigs, that had put him in a tree and had him scared. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 24 points and NASDAQ was up today more than 16. Oil prices more than $130 a barrel again. This is CBS News.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know, we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card. Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
Your lawn is for singing and laughing and pitching and catching, not stinging and biting and itching and scratching. So this weekend, get OrthoMax Lawn Insect Killer. Kills ants, fleas, ticks, and lots of other annoying lawn bugs fast. Keeps bugs away all season. Hey, lawns are for the good things in life. You know, fun, games, hugs, not bugs. Get OrthoMax this weekend. Lawn bugs gone all season long.
Ford is dramatically cutting its production of SUVs and pickups to about half as many, 15% fewer this quarter, 15 to 20% in the third quarter, so 2 to 8% in the fourth, and on it goes.
Yes, they'll see some pickup sales return when the construction industry comes back, but Ford CEO Alan Mulally says overall they see a permanent shift away from trucks and more toward cars, so that means cuts in production and personnel.
As tough as this is, Taking these steps now and continuing the acceleration of our transformation is exactly what we need to do to create an exciting and a viable, profitably growing Ford for the long term.
Ford also working to get more of its European-made small cars into the U.S. market. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Food inflation may affect Memorial Day weekend barbecues. Experts say burgers, hot dogs, buns, and the beer, all likely to cost more. Even paper plates, lighter fluid, and relish. Consumer experts say about 6% higher. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
All right, 35 and a half inches wide for the new refrigerator.
And then if you could do me a favor and measure the backsplash over here.
All right, yeah.
If we can get this done today and then get the backsplash done on Sunday, we maybe can have people over Monday.
It's time to tackle that list. Get 10% off all appliances at $399 or more on sleek designs from top brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. Make the most of your money this long weekend at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through May 28th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too, only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. From May 22nd through the 26th, save up to 30% on exceptional paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save, only at Sherwin-Williams, for painting, decorating, and great savings. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you've joined us. We've got a lot to talk about, great people to talk with over the next 3 hours. Stay with us as much as you can. And call in when you're moved to do so. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. If you're listening on the weekend in Seattle or Portland, you can drop me an email. peter@peterbcollins.com. Faz Shakir will join us in a moment. A lot of interesting news developing out of Washington today. Later this hour, as you get ready to fill her up for the long holiday weekend, we're going to bring on an expert on the air-powered car. Shiva Venkat from Zero Pollution Motors will be joining us. That's when you'll be able to fill her up with hot air. Just think how that would work in Washington, huh? Or Sacramento. Also on our program today, Scott Dick, our expert on military and veterans issues. We're going to go long on the torture policies of the Bush administration. As more and more information surfaces, we're also going to talk to a veteran for peace, Mike Marceau, because Vets for Peace has been uninvited from the big Memorial Day parade in Washington on Monday. The wheels fly. And as we kick off the Free Speed Zone, we'll talk with Nadine Block of Oil Change International. There was a Senate hearing this week where they brought in the leaders of major oil companies and had them testify, kind of reminiscent of the way tobacco executives were brought up on the Hill a few years ago. And Nadine Block was there, and she got arrested. She has been released in time to talk with us, so we'll find out exactly how that transpired and get the details from Nadine. That's coming up to kick off the Free Speech Zone today. Faz Shakir is the research director at the Center for American Progress and editor of the Daily Progress Report, also in charge of the Think Progress blog. Faz, how are you?
Doing fine, Peter. How are you this week?
Well, there's a little lift for me because right here on Think Progress, one of your top stories is that Karl Rove has been issued a subpoena by the House Judiciary Committee. And that makes me feel good because maybe we're going to unravel some of the U.S. attorney scandal issues and maybe get to the bottom of the Don Siegelman case in Alabama.
Yeah, it would be exciting. I think, you know, Don Siegelman's been out there talking about how much justice was perverted in this case, and he's recently said that once all the disclosure is out, it will be worse than Watergate, which has all of us intrigued, and we'd certainly like to get some answers and put those questions to Karl Rove and now the House Judiciary Committee under the chairmanship of John Conyers is moving ahead and trying to stake it to him.
Well, Don Siegelman's daughter, Dana, sent me an email about an hour ago, and we've been angling for an interview with the former governor. I hope that'll occur in the near future. But in addition to sharing the news about this subpoena for Rove, she mentioned that her dad, the former governor of Alabama, will be appearing on MSNBC's Dan Abrams show here on Thursday evening. So that might be worth checking out. Now, Faz, you're the guy with the law degree here. How does a House subpoena work? Do they send a marshal or somebody from the sergeant-at-arms crew to stake out the Fox News office for Carl's next television appearance?
That would probably be the best and most effective way to do it. But then they simply send it over via a letter carrier, and I'm not exactly sure who the letter carrier is in this case. It may be a federal marshal. It might be a congressional liaison. I'm not exactly sure who. But here they just serve the subpoena and compel him to testify and respond by a certain date. If he doesn't, then what we do, and I'm assuming, again, that he doesn't because of his history, we'd move into a court proceeding, and that's where we've been stuck for a while with Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton, the White House Chief of Staff, because the House Judiciary Committee had compelled subpoenas against them and was unable to get them to respond. And so I predict that that's where we're heading here, too.
And in the words of Kyle Sampson, a former Justice Department underling, they will gum it to death and run out the clock.
That's exactly the strategy, right? I mean, as we saw with the Alberto Gonzalez scandal, that as soon as he resigned, a lot of the action around it dissipated, and the hunger for going after him also went away. But thankfully, the one thing that's kept the Rove story going is that a lot of the Siegelman information came after Karl Rove resigned. And so that has fed the story, and people are interested in getting answers on that because that's not an issue that Rove has spoken about very much, and the House Judiciary Committee has not been able to get answers from anybody about that particular prosecution. So this has created a life of its own and is getting more interesting by the day.
This program has heard ghost to ghost, Faz, and apparently one of the ghosts yesterday got through to John McCain because we were talking about how he needed to reject and repudiate the comments of Pastor Hagee. And it surfaced on Huffington Post that way back in the 1990s, and this is digging into the video vault just like they did with Reverend Wright. They found a sermon where Pastor Hagee made some really, again, out of context, they were really ugly remarks about the good deeds that Hitler did that propelled the creation of the State of Israel. Now, in context, maybe his remarks were not inflammatory and might not be offensive, but certainly the way they were lifted out of context, kind of a neener for the other side, he finally said, well, no mas.
And right. I mean, isn't it ironic that the anti-gay comments of Hagee surrounding Hurricane Katrina and then the anti-Catholic comments that he made were not enough to bring Hagee down. It was only until these comments about Jews surfaced that it was basically the final straw. Just to give a little bit of credit here, it was actually Bruce Wilson of a website called TalkToAction.org that found this video and published it, and then he published it on a Daily Coast diary, at which point Huffington Post caught on and circulated it. And so it's gained a lot of traction in the last 24 hours, and ultimately John McCain said enough's enough, as you said, and issued a press statement this afternoon saying that he now rejects Hagee's endorsement.
Mm-hmm. And is he going to pass on the parsley next?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if you look at the political dynamics of this, going through what I was just saying, that the anti-Catholic remarks weren't enough, the anti-gay remarks weren't enough, that it really reached this political threshold where John McCain apparently saw that he was going to sacrifice too much politically with an important constituency for his campaign, the conservative Jewish constituency, and that was just too much, and so that's what put it over the top. Now, if you look at the Parsley, it's Rod Parsley, a different pastor who has endorsed John McCain. His remarks mostly blasphemed the religion of Islam and Muslims, and I don't know whether that has the political thunder that these other statements from Hagee did.
Yeah. I'm waiting for McCain to say, well, hey, at least they aren't lobbyists.
or maybe we'll get information that Hagee and Parsley were lobbying him.
Yeah, that could
that be
very
great.
Interesting. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. You can get their daily progress report. Just log on to progressreport.org and give them your email. And I recommend thinkprogress.org for breaking news and fresh updates. Faz, the president has called on Americans to send cell phones to friends and relatives in Cuba. Now, isn't this an act of appeasement that violates our longstanding failed policy of trying to isolate Cuba?
Yeah, I mean, they've always had a very incoherent policy with Cuba. You know, every time you get around political season, the rhetoric starts to sharpen. We saw that from John McCain this week saying that Obama is an evildoer because he wants to negotiate with Raul Castro. And I think in the same way, the hypocrisy that has surrounded all of the appeasement talk is also readily available and understandable on the issue of Cuba, because every now and again, after the administration of John McCain ratchet up the rhetoric, then they do certain things that suggest that their policy is very different. In the case of appeasement, remember, we know that they were holding back-channel talks with Iran, the State Department is, and now we know they're trying to open up the embargo on Cuba by sending cell phones. It just undermines and shows exactly what these conservatives are, is that they're all mostly interested in just playing politics with issues.
And after his, I'm trying to come up with the right adjective here, but his shameless remarks before the Knesset in Israel last week, we now have Israel admitting that they're talking to Syria.
Right.
They have indirect talks underway with Hamas, and that's where this whole story spun out, is that McCain accuses Obama of being willing to talk to Hamas. I wouldn't object to that, but Obama has never said he would do that.
No, in fact, it was John McCain in 2005 who suggested he would be, quote, open to dealing with Hamas if they were elected head of the Palestinian parliament, and they were. And so if anyone has been suggesting it, it is John McCain, and now he's criticizing Barack Obama for suggesting he would talk to Hamas when he won't. So this whole thing has gotten into a level of unseriousness and ridiculousness, and there is this kind of lack of seriousness in our politics today, and I attribute that mostly to the conservatives and the right wing who like to play political games and political charades with all this stuff.
Now, Faz, General Petraeus is before the Senate this week, seeking confirmation as CENTCOM commander to replace Admiral Fallon. And I would love to see a real contentious process here. I don't expect that they'll deny him confirmation. Are you seeing any sparks fly so far, or is it kind of a love fest?
Oh, it's a love fest. It's very much a love fest. Even to the extent that there have been some critical questions from Jim Webb and others, Jack Reed, who's led some pretty interesting inquiries, they haven't extracted a lot of interesting information from Petraeus. And quite honestly, it's all kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod affair that we know you're going through. We're not going to ask you really tough questions. We understand that, you know, the clock is running out on the Bush administration, so we're just going to go ahead and do whatever they want.
And just one more item from Think Progress right now, and that is that Jim Webb has put forward the 21st Century GI Bill. And the New York Times today had a lengthy article about it, quoting some Republican senators as saying that, well, this is a bad idea because it would encourage people to leave the military sooner than they might otherwise. And you have Lindsey Graham with a video clip and a quote basically saying that he wants the president to veto this bill, even though it passed the Senate by a veto-proof margin. And, quote, if we'll stand firm for a fair procedure and a sensible solution to the veterans' problems, we'll get rewarded in the next election, not punished.
Huh? Be my guest.
How does he reach that calculation?
you know, the stats didn't bear out Lindsey's argument, fortunately. You look at where the Republicans voted today, there's 15 up for re-election. 9 of them voted for Webb's GI Bill. So that's a majority there. Mm-hmm. And they were clearly afraid that if they were on the wrong side of this issue, that they weren't going to get reelected. So, he can make whatever claims he wants, and I'm anxious to see President Bush veto this bill, which he probably will, and then to have another vote in the Senate of whether to override the veto or not. And that should make for some interesting and entertaining politics on the Republican side.
Take a break and return with Faz Shakir. Check out the progress report. And coming up next, we'll talk about the torture policy. We're learning more and more every day about what's going on at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B.
Most mattress companies equate comfort with padding. That's why they stuff their mattresses full of polyfiber and cheap foam. But fibers break down, padding gets lumpy, and that doesn't spell comfort. The mattresses at SC41 Furniture rely on a far better design. We start with a base of 1,240 pre-compressed, motion-sensitive inner spring coils. Over that, we add a layer of highly resilient natural latex. And we finish it with a soft and stretchy cotton cover lined with pure natural wool. The result is unparalleled comfort, coupled with highly responsive support. And if that's not comfy enough, our double coil mattress adds a second layer of 1,500 microcoils for a total of 2,740 inner springs. That's almost three times more than a comparable U.S. mattress. For a better mattress design, come to SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
On May 25th at the Golden State Theater in Monterey, great local musicians will share their music to affirm a great local cause. Red Beans and Rice, Rashad Eggleston, Nico Gioris, Superior Olive, Elisa Feynman, and Kimball Hurd will perform to raise awareness of the aerial spraying of our communities with pesticides. Support their efforts to stop the spray. For your tickets to this May 25th benefit, go to www.goldenstatetheater.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Minutes after the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Faz Shakir with me from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. Lead story on Thursday, Torture Turf Wars. And Faz, a fascinating report from Glenn Fine, by all accounts a straight shooter. He's the Inspector General at the Justice Department. And he has reported us some 400 and plus pages on the FBI's resistance to the torture tactics used by the CIA and validated by the work of John Yoo and Jay Bybee and others in the administration who wrote the memos redefining torture and separating us from the Geneva Conventions. And it's fascinating to see this, what you call the turf wars between FBI and CIA. Give us your thoughts about what the key angles here and talk a little bit about Abu Zubaydah.
Well, I think that the most important part of this report is that that the FBI had a lot of concerns about the interrogation practices going on in the CIA, and what they did is they took it up to the highest levels of the Department of Justice, and at that time it was John Ashcroft and later, of course, Alberto Gonzalez. And the report says that basically those concerns fell on deaf ears. So I think what this does is, at its core, is implicate the highest levels of the administration on both knowledge that they knew what was going on and then failure to act. So that this is a very long report. It's got a lot of different parts in it, but I think that's one of the core principles.
Mm-hmm.
As for Abu Zubaydah, you know, we knew what was going on with him, that he was being waterboarded. They've acknowledged as much. But what the most interesting thing that comes out of this report is that the FBI had been interrogating Abu Zubaydah before the CIA, and had actually been making inroads and got some very valuable information from Abu Zubaydah by not torturing him, by establishing other interrogation techniques that are more friendly and which actually produce results. But instead, the CIA turned and used torture, and at that point, all information was lost from Abu Zubaydah.
Now, I commend the FBI for the steps they took. Many of those agents kept records. There was a war crimes file that they started and were told to stop collecting information for. We know that it reached the highest levels of the Justice Department, yet nobody crossed that line into taking action and into exposing this at a time when it could have been stopped. And we don't even know, for example, if it continues to this day. So what responsibility do you think these agents and FBI officials have had to be more forthcoming and go beyond simply cooperating with the Inspector General?
Well, you know, the Inspector General pats the FBI agents on the back, and the agency pats itself on the back by saying that their interrogators never engaged in these torturous practices. And that's laudable, but ultimately it's also a sin to see that it's going on, know that it's going on, and do nothing. And that's certainly a problem, and I think ultimately I'm not interested in holding the agents accountable. I'd love to continue to get information from them that implicate those who set the policy, because that's where ultimate culpability here lies. And I know Philippe Sands has this new book that basically makes that same argument, that ultimately it's the policymakers who set the course for torture that need to be held accountable.
And so that's Bush, Cheney, and the so-called Principles Committee of the National Security Council, which was intimately involved in approving even individual torture techniques.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, there was also, before we leave this conversation, I want to make sure there's one other point that was very interesting from what came out.
15 seconds, go ahead.
Murat Kurnaz said that he was treated to water treatment, which is different from waterboarding. But if you look at how he described water treatment, it's exactly the same thing. And so what that suggests is that they were conducting waterboarding by other names.
Mm-hmm.
Against a lot of different detainees.
Faz Shakir, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge. With Emerson, you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood. Senators Obama and Clinton were both in Florida yesterday. He as the presidential nominee apparent, looking for votes in November.
You and I together, we're going to have to work hard to make sure that we win Florida, we win this general election, and then you and I together, we're going to change the country and change the world.
She, to push for delegates elected in Florida's primary, which she won, seated at the Democratic convention.
You learned the hard way what happens when your votes aren't counted and the candidate with fewer votes is declared the winner.
More after this. Qatar's 25 trillion cubic meters of natural gas could be the clean-burning answer to the world's energy needs. But Qatar gas still has to get it to the world. And that's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them, so Emerson can supply the cutting-edge technologies that enable Qatar Gas to precisely control four of the largest natural gas production facilities ever built. Emerson anticipates customer needs, so when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved.
Hey, this is Hal. I'm going to interrupt for a quick update on the fire situation. We got this from the Monterey Herald. If you go to their website, if you need more information, MontereyHerald.com is a good place for it. Updated about 20 minutes ago. The fire has now been determined to have destroyed at least 20 homes and over 3,000 acres of trees and brush. It is completely uncontained, and there is no estimate as to when it will likely be contained, this fire along the Santa Clara, Santa Cruz line in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Fortunately, there have been no serious injuries or deaths reported, and it is hoped that with the winds dying down this evening, it will make it easier to contain the fire, the Summit fire. So the point is, stay away if you possibly can from the Santa Cruz Mountains, and if you're there now, try to get out. We'll return now to our regular scheduled programming on KRXA 540.
Why should Florida and Michigan voters trust the Democratic Party to look out for you when they won't even listen to you?
Obama says not to worry.
My hope is, in a couple of weeks' time, that we've won some more elections, we've won some more delegates, we've gotten the Florida delegation seated, so that they're going to be at the convention.
Says Clinton.
Stand up for your rights to have your votes counted, because that is absolutely what we must fight for in America.
Says Obama.
We're going to have a convention in August, and I'm going to accept that nomination.
Says the Zen Master. We'll see. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888- and be part of Peter B's America.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
You planning to hit the road for the Memorial Day weekend?
take lots of cash.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's. Got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall.
What was that old slogan? Nobody rides for free. Ass, gas, or cash?
Tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good. Tires fair.
Or maybe there was some grass in there. I don't remember.
Was out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars were shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still. Suddenly, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by and said, boys, it's marked for me. By then, the taillight was all you could see. Now, the fellas ribbed me for being behind, so I thought I'd make the Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it on down into overdrive. Mounted up to 110, my speedometer said that I hit top end. My foot was blue, like lead to the floor. That's all there is, and there ain't no more. Boys all thought, lost my sense, and telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots, the lines on the road just look like that.
There he goes, Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen with that Hot Rod Lincoln. And could you imagine a car that never requires you to stop at a gas station? Fill her up. Would sound a little bit like this. Yeah, that's the compressor in my garage, just waiting for an air-powered automobile to park in that garage. Joining me now to tell us about developments of air-powered vehicles is Shiva Venkat from Zero Pollution Motors. He's vice president and of the parent company and CEO of Zero Pollution Motors. And he's been involved in wide-ranging activities related to metals and minerals, from aluminum to zinc. And it says here he's an expert on geraniums. Or is that germanium?
Germanium.
Shiva, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
I hit the wall, you know, in high school chemistry. What is germanium? It's one of those elements, isn't it?
Well, germanium is a very interesting metal. It was discovered in the 1800, but it really got his application when the semiconductor business developed. It was one possible metal for semiconductors, but it was expensive, so silicon took over. But then germanium had a new life in the fiber optics, the middle of the fiber optics, what brings the voice, the zeros and the ones in the fiber optics is a germanium. It's germanium. It's made of germanium.
Mm-hmm. Very
That's one big application. But there's a number of other applications, too, which is like infrared system that uses germanium,
mm-hmm.
thermal imaging system. It's a small metal in terms of production, but it has a very wide range of applications.
All right, and just one more question about that. Since I started this, where is it found, and am I sitting on a deposit that I could turn into cash?
Well, it is unlikely because we would know it by now. It is associated with copper
mm-hmm.
or zinc mines, so it's a byproduct of a base metal.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it doesn't. You don't find it everywhere with in a copper mine or a zinc mine. There are some specific mine. One of the largest deposits was in the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Which is depleted.
With your expertise in metals, was that part of what propelled you into the automobile business and into trying to develop compressed air vehicles?
Not really. Actually, the vehicle that we have developed does not use very little metal. The thing is, I've been interested, apart from my, you know, day-to-day business of metal, I was always interested in everything that has to do with the environment. I've built a very efficient home, a round dome. I'm very interested in whatever there is out there that is going to do things for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 years ago, I read an article about Guy Naik, the inventor. I called him and met him, and we became friends. And we started to work together. I first bought the rights for the exclusive rights of the technology for South Africa. And then from there, since I was based in New York and he didn't have any representative, he suggests that I help him get the technology known in the U.S., and this is how I've been involved. It's something which has been going on for about 10 years now.
Shiva Venkat is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'd like you to visit the website, not while you're driving, perhaps, but when you have a chance, zeropollutionmotors.us. That's zeropollutionmotors.us. And Shiva, what stage of development are you in of compressed air automobiles?
Okay, we started 10 years ago. Gineg was looking at doing an engine that will run on compressed air. And the idea was to do an engine that could have been retrofitted into existing cars. But they quickly find out that that this isn't going to work because the cars that is available today are too heavy.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems we have, is that cars are not efficient because they're extremely heavy. And the heavier the car, the more gas low it is. And so from there, he decided that the best way to do this would be to design a car that will suit that engine. So he started doing a compressed air car only, but the compressed air car only didn't give the range. I mean, it's a perfect car for anybody that do less than 50 miles a day, which is, by the way, over 60% of the U.S. population.
That's right.
No one would just buy a car that can make 50, 60 miles on a full tank, because they want to be able, although they don't use the car to do 500 miles or they only do it once a year, they will still want a car to be able to do more than what they usually do. So on an economic point of view, we decided that we needed to find a solution to make the car having a longer range. So the third generation of development was to do what we call today a dual energy car, which is we're still running on compressed air, but we have added a heater that heats the air, increase the volume, and by increasing the volume, increasing the range. That's why, and we consume a little bit of energy for that. That's why we can claim, actually, our engine can do over 100 miles per gallon.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain that, because is it using gasoline in any way, shape, or form?
It is using gasoline, but it could use any form of energy. It could use ethanol, it could use biofuel, it could use diesel,
uh-huh.
It could even use propane. All it does is that it heats the air. So what we need is just a calorific input.
So then this is a hybrid vehicle. It's not a pure compressed air-powered car.
No, because you wouldn't have the range if you only run on compressed air alone. However, we think that the next generation of cars, and once we start having we don't call it a hybrid, because a hybrid is a car that has two engines. In our case, it's one engine. The only thing we're doing is that we're heating the air to increase the volume.
Okay, so you use gasoline for the heat?
Yeah.
I see. Okay. And why
using gasoline to heat the air to increase the volume, increase the range.
And couldn't you achieve the same effect with an electric-based heating system?
You could, but then where do you get the electricity? It's on a calorific point of view, it's easier to use a gasoline or ethanol or even vegetable oil,
mm-hmm.
to heat the air. It is a lot more efficient than using electricity.
All right,
The car is a motor compressor. So if, for example, somebody wants to only run on compressed air, then he can plug the car into a power outlet, and the motor becomes a compressor, and it compresses the air that goes into the tank. Then you run only on air, and under 35 miles, you would anyway run on air. Above 35 miles, this is when the the heater kicks in and starts heating the air, and that air is used to run the car, partly to run the car and partly to fill the tank.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you're above 35 miles, you start making compressed air that goes in the tank and compressed air that runs the car.
But you're unable to do that at a level that would create a perpetual motion machine, right?
No, because perpetual machine doesn't exist, really. You still have to have an input of energy to get a motion.
Right. And because of the friction and the other loss of energy, we still haven't arrived at... I was 12 when somebody broke the news to me, Shiva, that there is no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. But I still hold hope that someone will develop one.
There is going to be, and we have in our plans, but in 3 to 5 years, a way of running the car without any gasoline or any fossil fuel. But it's too early to talk about that. For the moment, what we have in our research and development is a motor that runs on compressed air with a heater and that can give 100 miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we have prototypes. We hope to start showing cars that run on the compressed air engine by the end of this year. And we hope to start building the cars in Europe next year and the year after, which is 2010 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Shiva Venkat is with us. The website again, zeropollutionmotors.us, zeropollutionmotors.us. Shiva, give us a quick sketch of what is in this car as it would compare to, say, a Prius. You've already told us that it doesn't have two motors. It's got a dual-use engine that serves as a compressor to refill the air tank. How big an air tank is it? And if you ran only on compressed air, how far can you get?
Well, if you run only on compressed air, you're talking about very small mileage, because you're talking about maybe 10, 15 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that we initially had a car that had three tanks, and that could give you 50, 60 miles, but it was running only in compressed air. That doesn't mean that we would not put out cars that will run only on compressed air. There's a number of applications that can use that, and there you would be able to do 60 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of taxis in urban cities, in urban environment, all the maintenance type truck, the UPS, the FedEx, and all these guys could use a compressed air car only by having a compressor at their station, because then they fill the car in a matter of minutes by transferring the compressed air from the compressor tank to the
mm-hmm.
car.
Gotcha. Uh-huh. And there's
a whole range of application that can use only compressed air, but there is no way we could build a business model around just only a car and compressed air.
Okay.
But I would say that the future... Well, I could see the future, a place where people will find out that there is a business in selling compressed air, and then you'll have compressed air station around, and then little by little, our only compressed air car only would be able to be viable, because then you would have a compressed air station mushroom around the country.
Right.
But
yeah.
Because we don't have that now, we got to go that dual energy route before we get to a cleaner solution.
We're talking with Shiva Venkat. He is the CEO of the parent company, and actually is VP of the parent company and CEO of Zero Pollution Motors. Again, their website, zeropollutionmotors.us. He's with us for another segment, so give us a call from your gas-guzzling vehicle or maybe from wherever you are. 888-5-PETER-B. If you're intrigued by this technology, let me know your questions. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With 8 professionals, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Imagine a pink Cadillac powered by compressed air. Well, Cadillacs are pretty heavy, so that may never happen. But
no.
Shiva Venkat is with us from Zero Pollution Motors, and their website, zeropollutionmotors.us. Give them your email, and they'll send you updates. And about a year from now, you might have some demos in the United States. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. We hope by the second half 2009, we'll be able to show the cars on the streets of the United States, and hopefully by 2010 start producing them.
Great. Well, Shiva, I volunteer to test drive one when you get some demos in the United States.
I'll keep you in mind.
Yep, I'd love to do that. And I do a car review feature, so I've had the opportunity to drive the Prius, the Honda Hybrids, the Ford Escape, and even the Monster from GM, the hybrid Yukon that is out on the market. And I've even driven a Lexus a sedan hybrid that didn't impress me that much as a hybrid, but it's still a pretty good car. And so I'm very interested in this, and as you get closer to market, I would love to take a spin in one of your vehicles.
Absolutely. I would contact you when we're ready.
We've got Richard in Fortuna wants to talk with you. Welcome, Richard, listening to KGOE.
Hi, Peter. It's I'm very interested because diesel just went to $5.30 a gallon.
Yeah, isn't that ugly?
Yeah, I think we're the highest in the nation. Take that, Chicago. I'm Bow County.
Yeah.
So anyway, now the compressed motor, compressed air, I got in just at the end of the last segment, and I wonder if you could kind of go over the motor again real quick.
All right, go ahead, Shiva.
Well, the motor is a motor compressor. So when you it runs on air, and
uh-huh.
when you need to fill your tank, you could do it two ways. While you're running the car, it will burn a little bit of gasoline, and it will compress the air and put it back in the tank.
Okay.
The other way to fill the tank is to plug it in, and the motor will become a compressor and compress the air to get in the tank. Now, the idea is that with a very little gasoline, you can go about, we basically are claiming 100 miles a gallon.
How many miles?
Because
I'm sorry?
We're not using the gasoline to be burned in the piston, in the engine.
Right.
Outside, we're using the gasoline to heat the air to increase the volume.
And oh. and Richard didn't hear it. It's 106 miles to the gallon is the rating that they show on their website.
Yeah. Okay. Is that going to be like the Honda hybrid where the motor and the compressor do it simultaneously, or is it going to be like the Prius?
It is away from a hybrid concept, because a hybrid concept is actually two or sometimes three engine.
Yeah.
In the case of a Honda or of a Prius, you got a thermal engine and an electric engine.
Right.
In the case of the Lexus, you got a thermal engine and two electric engines. And in our case, we only have one engine. What we have with the gasoline part is just the heater that heats the air, increases volume while it gets into the piston.
Right. Do you understand that, Richard?
Right, that's rather ingenious.
Yeah, when you fill a compressed air tank, I know this from scuba diving, it's compressed, and then if you heat it, it actually expands and you get more volume. So that's the simple concept at work here. Thanks for your call, Richard. I want to jump to William in Monterey, who's also interested in this idea. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I've lived in Japan for about 3 years, and different taxis around there had either butane or propane tanks or compressed air tanks, and just depending on the company. And I asked some of my Japanese friends, and the compressed air was the best because, you know, when you're stuck in Tokyo or Yokohama traffic, you're running around for about 6 or 7 hours stuck in traffic, and that engine takes over. But that thing about being able to get 100 miles to a gallon, I kind of saw that firsthand over in Japan. Is there a possibility of just importing a whole bunch of cars from there, or the taxi cabs for places like San Francisco and L.A.?
All right, Shiva, what's your comment?
I don't know of any technology that runs only on compressed air. What you have, you even have it in New York City, you have taxis that runs on compressed natural gas. And they have a big steel tank in the boot, and that's one of the problems, because there's not a lot of room in the boot after you've converted your car with compressed natural gas. But it runs on compressed natural gas. It's certainly cleaner than gasoline, but it's compressed natural gas. It's a fuel.
Mm-hmm. William, thanks for your question. I really appreciate that. And, Shiva, one of the complaints about hybrid cars is that they're so quiet that some people with vision problems can't hear them when they're coming. Do you have a plan to make your car make a little noise?
Well, it does make a little noise. It's noisier than an electric car,
uh-huh.
but not as noisy as a gasoline car.
Okay. Well, Shiva, I'm really fascinated. Thanks for explaining this to us today.
Okay.
Shiva Venkat. Visit the website, zeropollutionmotors.us. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Now go fill up your tank and borrow some money, okay? We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
And our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
A large tornado ripped through a northern Colorado town.
My motorhome is just rocking, and it sounded like a freight train coming through.
And a court rules against the state in a legal standoff over a polygamous compound.
It's a great day for families in Texas.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. An ominous black sky over northern Colorado today as a large tornado ripped a path through Weld County.
I heard a really weird noise, and I looked out the back, and I was seeing golf ball-sized hail coming down. And my dog was just kind of going crazy. I looked out, and I watched my trampoline just, like, launch into the air.
KCNC-TV chopper reporter Luann Aiken flew over the damage afterwards, describing utility poles ripped from the ground and toppled big rigs on the roads.
There are cars there that are barely visible as cars. We saw one semi on its side. I can't quite imagine what this would have been like when that storm moved through a bit ago.
One person is dead, several others hospitalized, and residents were shaken when they looked at what was left of their homes.
The garage is ripped apart. There's some holes in the roof. All the windows are busted out. My neighbor's right across the street. The house is gone.
KCNC's Rick Salinger.
A problem that they are trying to deal with at the moment is gas leaks. Xcel has sent in numerous crews. They're trying to get the gas shut off before there are any gas explosions. This area most certainly looks like a war zone.
Now this.
All right, 35 and a half inches wide for the new refrigerator.
And then if you could do me a favor and measure the backsplash over here.
All right, yeah.
If we can get this done today and then get the backsplash done on Sunday, we maybe can have people over Monday.
It's time to tackle that list. Use your Home Depot consumer credit card and get special deferred financing on everything from flooring to lighting to outdoor living. At the Home Depot, you can do it. We can help. Offer valid through May 28th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Government forecasters are predicting an active hurricane season.
There's a 60 to 70% chance of the following ranges: 12 to 16 named storms, 6 to 9 hurricanes, and 2 to 5 major hurricanes.
Jerry Bell of the Climate Prediction Center, NOAA, is also saying there's a 60 to 70% probability its prediction is accurate. It's the first time the agency's issued a probability with its forecast. Hurricane season begins June 1st. A dramatic turn of events in Texas today, where state authorities recently relocated hundreds of children seized from a polygamous compound. A court now says the state had no right. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
You read this ruling, and what the appellate court found was, mostly, there was no physical immediate danger to these children. There were allegations that they were in danger of a sexual nature and otherwise, but the appellate court now, with the benefit of some hindsight, with the benefit of some additional information, finds that that was not the case, that the allegations were far more serious than the proof ended up being.
Texas can appeal, but there's been no official announcement, and it's not clear when the children might be reunited with their parents. A fast-moving wildfire is forcing people from their homes south of San Jose, California. It's being fueled by brush and high winds. General David Petraeus told Congress today that this fall he may recommend more troop withdrawals from Iraq. That's right in the midst of the presidential elections.
My sense is that I will be able to make a recommendation at that time for some further reductions.
President Bush at Fort Bragg today said progress in Iraq is undeniable.
We are on our way to victory.
In Washington, Republicans broke rank with the president over a war spending package. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Foss.
By a lopsided margin, the Senate defied a veto threat from President Bush and added billions in domestic spending to the bill funding the Iraq War. Democrats like Dick Durbin knew it would be hard for Republicans to oppose expanded college benefits for veterans.
Don't tell me how much you love the soldiers if you won't stand behind them when they come home.
The Iraq money will last through the rest of this year and into next, and now includes expanded unemployment insurance, home heating oil assistance, and aid to rural schools. President Bush has threatened to veto the war funding bill if any new domestic spending is in it. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Flight delays aren't just aggravating, they're costly. A report out today claims they cost the American economy $41 billion last year. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card? Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
Your lawn is for singing and laughing and pitching and catching, not stinging and biting and itching and scratching. So this weekend, get OrthoMax Lawn Insect Killer. Kills ants, fleas, ticks, and lots of other annoying lawn bugs fast. Keeps bugs away all season. Hey, lawns are for the good things in life. You know, fun, games, hugs, not bugs. Get OrthoMax this weekend. Lawn bugs gone all season long.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we talk with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. We're going to focus on torture. Every day we learn more about what's going on.
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I dig snow and rain and a bright sunshine.
Taking the line.
Scott Dick joins us from the studios of the flagship station of the Peter B. Collins Show. That's KRXA 540 in Monterey, California. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Peter. The big fire in Santa Cruz notwithstanding.
Well, I did want to mention that because I actually was listening to the morning show with Hal when our friend Ed, the retired airline pilot, called with a very personal up-close report of the fire that broke out very close to his home in the mountains there. And we have confirmation that Sacramento knows about it because I've been emailed a photo of Governor Schwarzenegger proclaiming a state of emergency in Santa Cruz County.
Goodness, that's it's a mess, and the smoke has come all the way to Monterey, and it's affecting our visibility here on the other side of the bay, south side of the bay.
Uh-huh. Good. And can you tell me if they've got it under control or getting close?
No, I can't.
Okay.
That I can't tell, help you with.
All right. Well, this hour, Scott, we want to focus on the issues related to torture. And this has been imposed at both the military level and the CIA level. And we know that, we know much more than we have in the past, partly because of a 350-page report from Glenn Fine, the Inspector General at the Justice Department, and the FBI, which has been a party to some of the interrogations at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere, has taken exception to the tactics used by the CIA and by military interrogators, and they started a war crimes file. We know that there is discomfort among members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and as I discussed earlier in the program with Faz Shakir, while I do applaud them for saving the information and being honest with the Inspector General, it would have been nice if somebody had raised that warning flare and gone public with this much earlier. That said, let's talk about the way this all began, which was by torture of the law and torture of the English language, because John Yoo and Jay Bybee and others in the early days of the Bush administration were busy redefining what torture means so that we could employ torture and Bush could say with more or less a straight face, oh, America doesn't torture.
Right, and it starts out with something called, and I bring it into this part of the discussion, Peter, because it's important as we go through some of these steps to understand what's happening in the Bush administration, what began in 2002, and what is continuing until today. And it's something that is called fuzzing it up. Excuse the split infinity. Fuzzing it up is a common practice in government. You hide intentions and responsibility. You have one person say one thing and another person the exact opposite. You create a blizzard of paper. So much paper that actual evidence is lost in the glut. And, of course, you deny anything and everything that you can deny.
Mm-hmm.
So given that definition of fuzzing it up, you know, this is brings us to the next step. And the next step is to reframe the entire discussion about the Geneva Convention and people on what we call the battlefield. So my hypothesis is that they chose the word detainee instead of prisoner, or prisoner of war, or what Army doctrine calls, I don't know why they changed this, it was in my tenure on active duty, to enemy prisoners of war. I didn't know that you could have friendly prisoners of war, but I guess you can.
Yeah.
So they call them EPWs in the doctrine. And the reason they don't use the word prisoner or prisoner of war EPWs, because detainee evokes a different set of frames. For example, a prisoner or prisoner of war has a completely different meaning to Americans and to me. When I hear prisoner of war, I automatically go to protected.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also a uniformed member of the armed forces of an identified enemy. You know, in prior conflicts, it was more clear who the enemy was, and if an enemy soldier was captured, they clearly became a prisoner of war. We never attempted to create other categories in prior conflicts.
And even those without uniforms were also protected. And so for people who had the law of land warfare drilled into them, Peter, just a simple prisoner of war doesn't automatically mean somebody wearing a full military uniform. There are different categories of what are recognized if you had a simple flash. In other words, if you were in the militia, if you were bearing arms, if you had a bandana even, or a headscarf or something, that would also lead you to be part of an organized force, which is also protected. But if you use the word detainee, follow me here, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
The word detainee evokes something, for me, a little more temporary, something much more benign. Anybody can be detained. We encounter it all the time. We're detained at the airport or at the site of an accident, or we're detained by a police officer to see if we're driving drunk, or he detains us momentarily to check if we have insurance or registration. So it's not that bad, and it can happen to anybody. So when you use the word detainee, for us, it involves a whole different set of frames, and we're not prisoners until and unless we've been through some kind of proceeding that offers evidence to a judge and a decision is made to jail us or not to have a trial at all, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I wrote down here, detainee, the inference to most Americans who hear that word is that the person is a suspect. A prisoner is someone more likely, not always, but more likely, who has already been tried and convicted. And that's the other issue here, that many of these detainees have been and remain in limbo. Even Al-Qahtani, who is allegedly was supposed to be the 20th hijacker, all the charges have been dropped against him. but he has no hope for freedom. He's
not a prisoner. He's a detainee. So the use of the word detainee, I think, has been the first of in a series of steps. But this is a successful attempt on the Bush administration to change the entire frame of the discussion. Nobody's afraid of the word detainee. All of us accepted it. And I mean all of us in the media, people in general, on the street, all of us accepted it and adopted the word indifferent to the real changes that went along with the word, and we use it as a matter of course without any thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now for me, in the rest of my time with you, Peter, and on my show, I'm going to use the word prisoner and step out of the Bush administration framing.
I think that's good, and I think you are correct. These people are not momentarily or short-term detained. They are prisoners until further notice. They have been held with a presumption of guilt, not a presumption of innocence. And these are important distinctions that we need to make. It's one of the reasons why I do my best to refer to our current posture in Iraq as occupation, not war, because the roles are very different. And the perceptions are incredibly different.
Exactly. And I call it a preemptive attack on Iraq and an occupation as well, and that's the words I use. So if we can continue with this, a detainee fits in the concept of something new and different. And that was the whole point about all these memorandums and all this attempted coverage, was that it was something new, detainee was something new, and what was new and different was the war on terror. And that expression itself is something new and is also different. We fought terrorists before, and we've been attacked by terrorists before, but we've never been at war with terrorists. And so this is one more attempt at trying to reframe the entire psyche somehow, because we're at a war with terror, the Geneva Conventions don't apply. We'll get into that. But the thing I want to say about terrorists themselves are not self-proclaimed. I don't believe anybody, well, maybe with a few psychopathic exceptions, stand up, people say, I'm a terrorist. They're only identified as terrorists after they act. So it's hard to pick up somebody on the battlefield unless you know that they've done something, they've committed some terrorist act, and then proclaim them terrorists.
Well, and the battlefield concept doesn't hold either, because some of these people were turned in for bounty. Some of these people were picked up by, agents and officers. The term battlefield, particularly when you talk about GWAT, the Global War on Terror, such as it's described,
right.
I'm very uncomfortable with that term, just like you. This all plays around the idea that this is all exceptional, that 9/11 changed everything, and that in order to, quote-unquote, keep us safe, that Bush has seized a great deal of power, which he claims is all justifiable and constitutional, and I have great reservations and differences about that. But it all revolves around this idea that things are different, that conventional thinking, that rational thinking based on prior concepts is no longer accurate. And in the words of, I'm trying to remember who described the Geneva Conventions as quaint. It was either Bybee or Gonzalez.
It was Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, Peter, most Americans don't know, or they don't accept, or they haven't heard, that many of those so-called terrorist detainees in cargo containers by the Northern Alliance. Mm-hmm. They were not captured on the battlefield. They were not captured in the midst of a terrorist act. They aren't, in the words of Limbaugh, the worst of the worst. They were delivered after they were paid a bounty of $5,000 each in cargo containers, where many of them did not survive.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea that we have some kind of romantic notion in America that there was this giant battle between good and evil, and at some point we discovered these individual evildoers on this battlefield and picked them up and moved them through a series of steps to get them to Guantanamo, is a complete fantasy, and it's being played on the United States, the people of the United States, by the Bush administration.
And I have a very specific example of that that I want to bring up right after the break here, Scott. Scott Dick is with us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join this conversation. We're talking about Bush's torture policy, and it's a very important subject. I hope you'll stay with us and participate. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Checking traffic on KRXA and continuing problems in Santa Cruz County because of a serious fire. It's burned over 3,000 acres now in and around the Santa Cruz Mountains. So all the road closures, Summit Road east of Soquel, San Jose Road, Highland Way at Summit Road, Poline Road at Summit Road. For Coralitos, Eureka Canyon Road and Browns Valley Road are both closed. And Coralitos Road east of Varney Road has been shut down as well. No estimated time for any of those roads to reopen. And Highway 17 and 152, though, are still open. But you may want to avoid the areas because traffic is definitely slow. People checking out all the smoke that's coming from this thing. We also have a pretty serious injury crash in San Benito County, North 101 at 129. Overturned produce truck blocking the left-hand lane. CHP shutting down both of the lanes temporarily to get that moved out of there. Expect delays. And this is brought to you by Subway. Try the new Subway Big Philly Cheesesteak, fresh toasted with delicious mounds of tender steak and melted cheese. The beefy Big Philly Cheesesteak only at Subway. Subway, eat fresh. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. I forgot to mention, Scott served in the Marine Corps and then retired from the Army at the rank of Major. And about 10 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Mike Marceau, a member of Veterans for Peace, a group that has been uninvited from the official Memorial Day Parade.
Was it the time of year?
And did I hear you say? That's called My Country, Right or Wrong. It's by Midnight Oil, and we continue now with Scott Dick. And, Scott, I promised an example here of people who didn't come up as enemy combatants from a quote-unquote battlefield and wind up at Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. But there's a group of religious minority in a remote province of China.
Uyghurs.
And they're called Uyghurs. And this is a term that most people are familiar with. It's spelled U-I-G-H. U-R-S, and pronounced Uyghurs.
Correct.
And I first learned about them about a year and a half ago from one of our colleagues at the Center for Constitutional Rights. And what we know is that there was a group of Uyghurs who were essentially sold into custody of the United States by bounty hunters, probably in Pakistan or Afghanistan. And when they got to Guantanamo, what we have now learned from Glenn Fine, the Inspector General of Justice, his extensive report, is that U.S. military personnel allegedly softened up these Uyghurs at the request of Chinese intelligence officials who were permitted to come to Guantanamo to interrogate these men. Now, we later learned that they were completely innocent. They had no complicity in any of the events against the United States, either in Afghanistan or Iraq, but they were detained here, and they were being persecuted for their religious beliefs by the Chinese government. And we brought Chinese military officers in there and presumably tortured them and used other techniques. It's described in the Inspector General's report that they got the hot and cold treatment, deprived of food, and lengthy and ongoing interrogation.
And of course, the Chinese interrogators aren't known for their niceties, and it is amazing that we rail about communist Cuba and the threat of communist Cuba and the inhumane conditions there in Cuba and political prisoners, and yet the Chinese communists are allowed to come to Guantanamo, and we use our military policemen to soften up their interrogees. It's really amazing. The Uyghur are one of the 150 million Muslims in China.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a group of people we want to piss off as well as the Arab Muslims. But it's something that we're working towards.
And a quote from Fine's report. The agent stated that he understood that the treatment of the Uyghur detainees was either carried out by the Chinese interrogators or carried out by U.S. personnel at the behest of Chinese interrogators. Now, who is running the frickin' asylum?
Well, Peter, and this is what makes the war on terror with detainees so much easier, because the war on terror has no metrics. It is whatever it needs to be, and we can be friends with whomever we want to be. Whereas a war on terror ends when a particular person, or a war on terrorist, can end when a particular person or group is captured or killed. So we have this never-ending war because there are no metrics in which to measure a war on terror by.
Yeah.
And then you get into the phrase, the use of the phrase torture. The Geneva Convention defines torture as any act by which severe pain or suffering. Here, it's kind of long, but I'm going to make this distinction, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
Any act by which severe pain or suffering, whether physical or mental, is intentionally inflicted on a person for such purposes as obtaining from him or a third person information or a confession, punishing him for an act he or a third person has committed or is suspected of having committed, or intimidating or coercing him or a third person for any reason based on discrimination of any kind, and then it goes on. So how do you do it, Peter? You just redefine the definition of torture.
Right. And that's what, John, you did, and that's why we spoke with Marjorie Cohn yesterday about the National Lawyers Guild's effort to get John Yoo fired from UC Berkeley for his participation in this unethical conduct.
Well, it's more than that. She has she mentioned it. It was the Yoo Bybee memo.
Mm-hmm.
And they rewrote torture, too. The equivalent intensity to the pain accompanying serious physical injury. So if you're in a car wreck, then it becomes, if you punish somebody as painful as a car wreck, it's
right.
Torture.
And organ failure.
Organ failure or right. Impairment of bodily function or even death.
More with Scott Dick after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Congress fires its secret weapon. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, when gas prices are high, there's only one thing to do. Put oil executives under oath and use enhanced interrogation techniques.
Does it trouble any of you when you see what you're doing to us?
And then, while they're all disoriented, force them to try to remember their salaries.
It's certainly well over $1 million. It's a public record.
Is it over $2 million?
Yes, it is, sir.
Is it over $3 million?
Yes, sir.
Is it over $4 million?
I don't remember.
Isn't forcing an oil executive to remember his salary a human rights violation? Who cares? This is an emergency. Unfortunately, the enhanced interrogation techniques didn't work this time either. I still paid $4 for gas today. Which raises a more fundamental question. I saw Democrats scolding oil executives, even though high gas prices have finally achieved what a lot of Democrats have been demanding for years, that Americans drive less and stop buying big cars. In fact, Ford just announced it's cutting production of pickups and SUVs. Now, as sorry as Americans feel for the polar bears, it's the $4 gas that's making us drive less. But I know Congress needs to attack someone, so how about the airlines? Charging for checked baggage? We all know what that means. The snowboards and the 50 pounds of shrink-wrapped beef are going to be in the overhead bin above my seat, except for the people who try to shove them into the space under my seat, or who sit right next to me wearing three pairs of pants and eight shirts with the beef stuffed in the pockets. It's going to be like flying in a storage locker. I want to see the airline executives forced to remember their salaries. Now this.
In spring, love is in the air. And so are a lot of other things, like pollen, dust, and that old romance killer, ragweed. So if you want to be able to see the love light in her eyes, or his eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes, so that nothing comes between you and amore.
Mm.
Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-formed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we bring you progressive politics and electric guitars. I really like this tune. The guy's name is Paul Oakenford. But I'm distressed that it appears on shampoo and car commercials on television. I guess there's nothing I can do about that.
Ready, steady, go!
We continue with our regular contributor on military and veterans issues, Scott Dick. And, Scott, we're joined now by Mike Marceau. He is a member of Veterans for Peace in the Washington, D.C. area, came out of a military family, served in Vietnam, and was critically wounded during a rocket attack there, and now is a member of Veterans for Peace. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, we appreciate the opportunity to tell our story.
Well, I wanted to hear why the Vets for Peace have been uninvited, disinvited, rejected for participation in the official Memorial Day parade in Washington on Monday.
Well, we'd like to find the answer to that question, too. All we can say is referring to the emails that we got from the American Veterans Center, who are sponsors of the parade, and what they communicated to us was that they don't permit groups who have a political viewpoint to participate in the parade. However, I was rereading some of the information here that's come out the last couple of days about this, and on the AP news release yesterday, it said that the parade includes Revolutionary War reenactors and active duty military units, and if you're telling me that those types of groups do not have military viewpoints, then I think you're hallucinating on something, but it's a puzzlement to me.
Apparently the issue is that you don't have the right viewpoints. If you embrace the Bush administration's key message points, it's probably okay to be political in the Memorial Day parade.
I think you're exactly right. And when you said the right viewpoint, I guess that means in all definitions of that word. Is that right? Is that correct?
I guess so. Scott, you want to say something?
I want to ask him if there's the VFW or the American Legion are marching those parades.
We don't really know that right now. Apparently, this is something that's been going on for, like I said, this is the fifth year, and it's the first time that we have applied to march in the parade. We thought that we would try to do this since this has happened to several of our chapters in past. I mean, how ludicrous is it to kick out veterans from a Veterans Day parade? That happened to our Austin chapter last year, and also to one of the... one of the Florida chapters had the same problem several years ago, so it is not just an isolated incident with that chapter here in Washington, D.C.
Well, and Mike, there is some history here. In San Francisco, at the end of the Gulf War, there was a victory parade, and a group of veterans, Vietnam vets, I don't know if they were formally members of Veterans for Peace, but they got a permit to join the parade. They had a car and a group of people walking along with it, and they held up signs that were critical of the war and that were promoting a message of peace. And I was an eyewitness, and I had a tape recorder rolling at the time, to the crackdown by some plainclothes Army MPs who were there to preserve the message of the event and keep it on message. And they wrestled a couple of these guys to the ground. They pulled them away from the parade. And this is the proper use of the word detain, Scott. They detained them for about an hour until the parade had left that ground, and then they released them. And ultimately, there was a lawsuit, and the Pentagon did issue letters of apology to those veterans. And I was very pleased to attend a celebration after all that came to a conclusion. But we've also seen with the Memorial Day Parade and Veterans Parades in Monterey and Seaside that key groups that don't agree with the official party line are excluded or somehow marginalized through, not being given permits or, being put in an out-of-the-way place like a Bush free speech zone.
Yeah, well, that's certainly out of earshot of the general population that needs to know this stuff is going on, and that's why we're speaking out, and that's why we're appreciative of the chance to, like I said, tell our story here and get people hopefully properly outraged. I mean, I spent 8 months at Walter Reed Hospital. Don't I have a right to expect a little respect from my fellow citizens?
Apparently not.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, I guess I'm on the on the wrong side of the tracks, as it were. And I mean, we are getting a lot of support. If people would care to check out our website, it's www.vftdc.org. That is a Washington, D.C. area chapter website.
Mm-hmm.
And it is named for Delwyn Anderson, who's a gentleman that unfortunately I did not get a chance to meet before he passed away last year. He was a World War II veteran who went to work for the Veterans Administration in 1947, and up until his death last year, he was involved and active in veterans issues, whether through his job with the VA and after retired through Veterans for Peace. So, I mean, we cannot think of any fitting way to name our chapter after someone who put that much effort into the veterans cause. And the name became official last November 11th, Veterans Day. So, and his widow is very happy with our decision to do that. And she is very disappointed that she will not be allowed to participate in this parade on Monday here in our nation's capital.
Well, and Mike, I'll tell you that I never wore the uniform, and I really respect those of you who did, and particularly those of you who served and put your life on the line and you were seriously injured. And frankly, I think that you deserve free speech rights as a veteran, as a wounded, decorated veteran, that should not be curtailed or restricted or eliminated by groups who are toadying to a kind of right-wing political correctness.
You're exactly right. I appreciate that that statement, and I think that this free speech issue goes beyond just veterans groups. Any person in the United States and who's an American citizen has the right to speak out and let people know his or her opinions of situations, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, I'm reading the application right now, and it says the review committee reviews applications and invitations and bases their decisions on a variety of factors. They just don't say what they are. So, you know, if you would have said that you were a marching or a musical group, you probably would have had a better chance of getting in.
Or if you had brought Hannah Montana along.
Exactly. So, you know,
but she would have worn the red, white, and blue, and that would have been perfectly acceptable. When we did apply, I have to clarify this a little bit. When we did apply, our original application said that we would have one or two convertibles with the chapter namesake,
mm-hmm.
and a couple other World War II veterans who are active, as well as VFP flags, American flags, and we also said in the original application that we would be pulling a coffin in the parade. So the American Veterans Center said, you can't do that. So we agreed to eliminate the coffin, and we thought that that was okay, and apparently a week or two later, you have the timeline in front of you, it sounds like, we were disinvited, so... we were trying the best we can to cooperate with the guidelines that they had set down, and by eliminating the coffin, we thought that that would eliminate the potential for having a viewpoint. So
and
apparently
Mike,
that wasn't good enough.
Mike, I understand why you made the accommodation, but I'm outraged that they asked you or told you that you couldn't have a coffin there. We have soldiers who've died in every conflict, and that is a way to remember and honor their deaths. And this whole way that the Bush administration has kept the corpses out of sight, and no photographs have been permitted. There was that one that surfaced from Dover, and people were disciplined over it. And this is a, you know, a kind of shocking way of trying to control information and pacify the American people. And I reject it.
Hey, Peter,
I'm with you on that, and I appreciate you saying that.
Go ahead, Scott.
This is the whole thing. You know, this application explains itself. The guy's name is Todd Marocchi, National Memorial Day Parade, care of Under the Sun Productions, Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's a for-profit, you know, it's one of these things where they've contracted it out. They didn't see any reason not to approve it, and then when it all went to the organizers, they probably vetted it to some, you know, DOD or Bushies, and that's what got the hammer down.
Yeah, well, if you look at the American Veterans Center website, you'll see some of their major sponsors are Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, CACI, CACI, which is a big consulting firm here in the D.C. area.
Sure.
I think the government of Kuwait was also listed at one point as a sponsor. And I'm trying to figure out how the government of Kuwait cannot be considered as not having a political message. I mean, that's just totally baffling to me.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I want to thank you for joining us. And again, the VFP website is?
Our website for the D.C. chapter is www.vfpdc.org, and that has linked also to the national chapter. And if you click on the picture of Delwyn Anderson, you'll get a more extensive version of his biography than I expanded on about a minute ago. So we appreciate the effort again to talk with you folks, and let's hope everyone has a peaceful and quiet Memorial Day. And if you do like I do, say a prayer for those who are still in harm's way and those who have not made it back yet.
Thank you, Mike Marceau.
Okay, good talking with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike, for joining us today. Mike Marceau here on the Peter B. Collins Show from Veterans for Peace, vfpdc.org. Scott Dick with us, and if you'd like to comment on our discussion about torture, about the Inspector General's report from Guantanamo, feel free to call us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott, what would you like to comment on next related to the torture policies and practices?
Well, the next part is the legal cover that they attempted to create for themselves, because I think they knew, even the dumbest lawyer in D.C. knew that they were going to violate the Geneva Conventions. And so what they had to do was there's military order number one, which Bush wrote basically that said, I'm the president and I can do anything that I want to do. And so one of those things was, amongst all the other things, was to waive, you can't waive the Geneva Conventions, but they did. They wanted to. And so he wrote a memorandum back to the president after reading everything that he needed to read. And this is why he can't find a job, because he's not a very good lawyer. In one of the paragraphs, ramifications of determining that Geneva Conventions do not apply. Under the positive, he actually has a listing of positive. Criminal prosecution under the War Crimes Act. And then he goes on to explain how a war crime under 1996, the act, the statute, a war crime is, for these purposes, is defined to include any grave breach of the Geneva Convention or any violation of Common Article Number 3, such as outrages against personal dignity. And then he goes on, some of these provisions apply if the Geneva Convention applies, regardless of whether the individual is being detained qualifies as a POW. So they knew that this was a possibility. And the next thing, adhering to your determination that the Geneva Convention does not apply would guard effectively against misconstruction or misapplication of Section 241 for several reasons. And he says the language of the Geneva Convention is undefined. It's difficult to predict the needs and circumstances that could arise in the course of the war on terrorism. And third, it is difficult to predict, here we go, Peter, difficult to predict the motives of prosecutors and independent counsels who may in the future decide to pursue unwarranted charges based on Section 244.1. Your determination would create a reasonable basis in law that Section 2441 does not apply, which would provide a solid defense in any future prosecution.
So this is counsel on how to break the law and avoid getting caught.
How to try to break the law, and if we do break the law, we can always fall back and say, well, the president decided that Section 2, Article 18 U.S.C. 2441 is the law when you sign a treaty consigning to the Geneva Conventions, it makes it a felony to violate the Geneva Conventions. So that's what he's trying to circumvent, is the criminal statute in the United States.
Right. Yeah.
So they're
not trying to protect either detainees or interrogators. They are trying to protect the officials who authorized this from the top and who have tried to preserve deniability as far as they could. We're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick. Lines open if you have a comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can share a podcast with this hour or any other portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. The link is on my homepage at Peter B. Collins.
Check checking traffic on KRXA in Santa Cruz County, just taking a hit with all these grass fire this afternoon. Continues to burn south of Lake Elsman and north and west of Mount Madonna Park. Over 3,000 acres of burn so far. Summit Road east of Soquel, San Jose Road shut down. Highland Way at Summit Road closed. And Poline Road at Summit Road also shut down. Now for Corralitos, Eureka Canyon Road at Browns Valley Road also shut down. And Corralitos Road east of Varney Road closed down as well. Separate grass fire burning in Felton, Quail Hollow Road at East Zianti Road. That was started by downed power lines in the area. The roadway has been shut down as fire crews attempt to put that out. For San Martin, we have an earlier crash northbound 101 at San Martin Avenue. That's been moved out of the way. Also, San Benito County, northbound 101 129. Overturned Big Rig had lanes blocked for a while. That's now been moved out of your way as well. This is brought to you by GM Goodwrench. Are you driving a Chevy? Then have it cared for by a Chevy specialist. It's time for Goodwrench and Go at your Chevy Goodwrench dealer. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras, whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans matters. And Scott, Naomi Klein published a book last year called Shock Doctrine. And in it, she describes a manual that came out of the Vietnam era, the Project MK Ultra, which was a top secret CIA program for mind control, reprogramming people. And it included many of the techniques that we now see employed at Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib, euphemized as enhanced interrogation techniques, but part of a whole litany of torture that the CIA and also the School of the Americas at Fort Benning has exported to other governments, including dictatorial regimes around the world. And so this is not accidental. It's not just, Charlie Grainer and his girlfriend Lindy England going wacko on the night shift at Abu Ghraib. This was a very concerted effort to bend the law, change our policies, protect the decision makers who decided to go into this barbaric direction. And the legacy is incredibly ugly. Tie it all together for us.
Well, they didn't bend the law. At no point are you allowed to bend the law. They flatly broke the law at the felony level. Anybody who knew about the Category 2 and Category 3 interrogation... graphically how this all played out, because we got our first prisoners, as we've described, in container boxes from the Northern Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a conflict, a ground battle going on, they were picked up on the battlefield, like the good old days, and sent to something called the Bagram Collection Point, and that's in the FBI memo.
Yeah.
And they had techniques, except the Bagram Collection techniques are all redacted out. Then in addition, there's a new January 2003 memorandum that requested approval for several more battlefield techniques, and I'd like to discuss those, but those were all redacted out. In February 2003, after a military investigation into two detainee deaths at the Bagram Collection Point in December 2002, at this location redacted out, they issued several changes to the approved interrogation tactics, which were also redacted out. So as a result of this, had to be a tremendous amount of mistreatment in order for two prisoners to die. So now we're killing them on the battlefield. Then they came up with these categories of interrogation techniques. Now, these are not really interrogation techniques. These are in response to resistance by prisoners. And it's based on something called SERE, which is survival, escape, resistance, and evasion that we teach our pilots, et cetera, our agents, et cetera.
Right.
And to counteract that, they approved 15 techniques that included certain forms of physical contact and also techniques intended to humiliate and impose sensory deprivation. They permitted the use of stress positions, isolation, hooding, 20-hour interrogations, and nudity. And in the case of Al-Qahtani, the plan stated that the blindfolding and the presence of dogs had been approved by the commanding general. So now, if we take all the photographs of a few psychopaths on the night shift at Abu Ghraib, we can take, Peter, I believe, each one of those images and lay them down next to one of the resistance breakdown techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Hooding, stress positions. And I have a copy of the memorandum that Rumsfeld signed when they asked for this, and wrote at the bottom, "Howard, I stand for 8 to 10 hours a day. Why is standing limited to 4 hours? Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
So these techniques, each one that violate the Geneva Convention and is a felony under U.S. law, was approved by Rumsfeld. The most serious ones, including water torture and a couple other things that were redacted out, had to go case-by-case approval. And so the idea, I think that we should, as a nation, resurrect those convictions of those young soldiers. And, you know, there is an argument that they were just following orders, which, again, is no defense. But they should be tried under different categories than what they were tried under. And I know Sabrina Harmon,
mm-hmm.
she was tried, two orders that went, the two that were in her indictment, was desecration of a corpse by unzipping a body bag and taking photographs of them. So they had been taking photographs in each one of these stages of these resistance breakdown techniques. They're not really interrogation techniques. And their main crime was they photographed it and the photographs got out.
Yeah.
That's what they were convicted of.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I agree with you. Even Grainer and England, they were convicted and the cases against them were very strong, but they did not originate these policies and practices.
No.
And so I do believe that they should be retried or resentenced because their level of complicity is far below those of the suits and the generals who authorized it right up the line.
And Philippe Sand said that when he interviewed John Yoo claimed that the day when they're talking about migration, the migration of the techniques from Gitmo to other locations, Yoo claimed that it was untrue and a partisan smear. But in fact, it's just a fact that those techniques did migrate to anywhere that we have prisoners now, including Abu Ghraib, because Abu Ghraib came after Gitmo, which came after the deaths in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how all this is connected. Right up to Abu Ghraib, the finger could be pointed right at Donald Rumsfeld, Addington, Gonzalez, Haynes, Yoo, Bybee, and with it, the three principals, Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Bush.
Don't forget Rice and Tenet. They're the people who round out those groups.
There are a few heroes, but I caution people when they read that 428 pages, like I'm trying to work through right now, that it is a very self-serving document, and the FBI agents, they started to keep a war crime database, and then they were forced to erase it.
Yeah. Scott, thank you for an excellent tour of America's torture policy this hour.
Well, you're welcome, Peter. It's not a fun thing to do, but somebody's got to do it, and I just wanted to pick up all the pieces and try to put them together.
You did a great job. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week. That's Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. A Texas appeals court says the state had no right to seize hundreds of children from a polygamous compound. Family spokesman Rod Parker.
It's a wonderful day for the families. They're thrilled. I think it validates some of the things we've been saying for quite a while.
Attorney Cynthia Martinez with Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid.
Our argument was that the state was unable to produce specific evidence against any of these mothers that told how they created abusive environments that would warrant taking away their children.
The more than 400 children were sent to foster homes. It's not clear now when they might be reunited with their parents. A huge tornado swept through northern Colorado towns today, destroying homes, ripping up utility poles, and flipping big rigs. A chopper reporter describes the scene in Weld County.
There are houses down there that have more gone than they have left.
One person was killed and several others injured. KCNC-TV's Rick Salinger was at the scene about 50 miles north of Denver.
Pickup truck has been blown into the garage. The front lawn won't need any mowing for quite a while. It's completely filled with debris. The house next door, and for that matter, all along the rest of the block, the shingles torn off, and then the roof, and God knows what beneath it.
All of northeastern Colorado is under a tornado watch through tonight. General David Petraeus told Congress today that this fall he may recommend more troop withdrawals from Iraq.
The number of security incidents in Iraq last week was the lowest in over 4 years, and it appears that the week that ends tomorrow will see an even lower number of incidents.
I'm Peter Mayer at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. President Bush watched as waves of helicopters flew overhead, and 17,000 troops passed in review at this ceremony, saluting soldiers just back from Iraq and Afghanistan. He outlined a mixed picture of the Iraq war, saying overall violence is down. But at a ceremony that included the presentation of medals to war heroes and families of soldiers killed in action, Mr. Bush also warned there will be more war sacrifices. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Republican John McCain has rejected an endorsement from a Texas televangelist who once said God sent Adolf Hitler to help Jews reach the promised land. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed on the political significance of this.
There's been a lot of discussion in political circles recently about Florida, and in particular the Jewish vote in Florida, and that McCain has been very aggressively going for the Jewish vote in Florida, thinking that Obama's going to have some trouble there. This certainly could hurt McCain with the Jewish vote.
Oil prices are just over $130 a barrel today, and more fallout for the airlines. U.S. Airways now says high fuel prices will force it to seek a one-year delay in starting a new route between the U.S. and China. On Wall Street, the Dow finished 24 points higher. This is CBS News.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why GEICO.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Well, guys, you know the feeling. You're running out of clean underwear and socks. Soon, you'll have to break down and do laundry, unless you immediately head to the men's store inside JCPenney. And right now is a great time to stock up on your favorite essentials. Their entire stock of men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks are on sale. Buy one package, get the second one at 50% off. It's the hassle-free, laundry-free way to keep things clean. The men's store inside JCPenney is the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
It's a new high-tech tracking system for prescription drugs that may have dangerous side effects. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story from Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration calls this the Sentinel Initiative. Sentinels guarding us from bad pharmaceuticals and medical supplies. Working with Medicare, the FDA is about to start harvesting data from millions of patient files saying individuals won't be identified to keep overall records on what's being prescribed and what products doctors and patients stop using. A first alert that something's wrong. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A new government study claims state and local agencies need to do a better job tracking foodborne illnesses, and they need to share information. The CDC says 76 million Americans get sick every year, and as many as 5,000 die. In just the past few years, we've had scares over E. coli-tainted spinach and pot pies with salmonella. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
All right, 35 and a half inches wide for the new refrigerator.
And then if you could do me a favor and measure the backsplash over here.
All right, yeah.
If we can get this done today and then get the backsplash done on Sunday, we maybe can have people over Monday.
It's time to tackle that list. Use your Home Depot consumer credit card and get special deferred financing on everything from flooring to lighting to outdoor living. At the Home Depot, you can do it. We can help. Offer valid through May 28th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Another hour unravels before your very ears. Our program is live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and who knows what'll happen next. As we enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, the most painful part is filling up at the pump. The Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar. I saw him recently at a Robin Williams show. And I don't think he drives cars anymore. He was riding a bicycle. But whether you drive 55 or any other speed, it costs you more to fill up that tank. And the prices are going up almost every day now. It's almost frightening. Nadine Block joins us. She's a field director with Oil Change International, and their website is easy. It's priceofoil.org. Nadine, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
And this week, Wednesday, there was this kind of deja vu scene where a bunch of really wealthy guys in suits showed up and raised their right hand and testified before some members of Congress. And this time it wasn't tobacco executives, it was oil executives. And while the, you know, testimony was predictable and the staged outrage of the senators was even more predictable, one thing happened that was unpredictable, or at least it seems like it to me. You got arrested at that hearing. Now, tell us what happened.
Well, it is true it was unpredictable, I guess. There was a Senate hearing on the quote-unquote skyrocketing price of oil. And after sitting in that hearing room with a bunch of senators and the top executives from the five biggest oil companies in the U.S., I was really irate and really upset because they did not even start to address what we should really be talking about. And so I interrupted the hearing, trying to bring in a little moment of sanity. And I asked them to stop dispensing the lies and to start actually addressing the issue, which was, how do we reduce our use of oil? And the way to do that is to separate oil and state in specifics.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them to remove the oil money from our congressional system, to remove the oil money from our democracy so that our congressmen can actually vote to end the subsidies that we give big oil and use that money to start funding the green energy future that we so desperately need.
Now, have you been taking resistance training from my friend Medea Benjamin?
I know Medea quite well. I don't know that either of us needs to train the other one, but we believe that people should be actively involved in bettering their future.
And do you share her bail bondsman?
No.
And do you have as long a record with the Capitol Police as Medea?
Yeah, perhaps, maybe longer. I'm not sure.
Well, more power to you. And you were speaking for me and many Americans when you made those demands. And I hope that they didn't injure you as they hustled you out of there. Talk a little bit about that.
No, they, you know, it was all very perhaps predictable in the unpredictable nature of it all. Senate hearings are full of pomp and circumstance. Occasionally there is a piece of truth spoken. Unfortunately, I didn't hear anything while I was there that day, although after I was removed from the hearing, there was a quote from the senator from Rhode Island, White House,
mm-hmm.
who mentioned that the existential threat of global warming and our moral imperative to address those issues. But, you know, mostly what's being hurt in this refusal to actually see the writing on the wall, that the price of oil, although right now all it is doing is lining the pockets of these big oil executives, is not going to be reduced by just simply drilling for more oil. We cannot drill our way out of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have to actually address what's hurting the climate and what's hurting our future on this planet. So we really need to significantly address ourselves to reclaiming our democracy and making sure that our congressmen and senators can vote in the public interest. What we, you know, at Oil Change International, we focus a lot on separation of oil and state. We have a great website that I would encourage people to visit called Follow the Oil Money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you can actually put your zip code in and find out just how much money your representatives take from big oil and how they vote. And that's very interesting.
Well, while we're talking now, I'm going to actually enter the name of Dick Durbin, because he took them on to an extent. He asked them if they have a conscience and talked about, you know, the egregious profits that the oil companies are taking in right now. And let's see, I've got the page up here. Should I click on Exxon or Chevron? I'm looking for the window to enter an elected official's name.
Well, you can go to the U.S. Congress page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Okay. I see it now. There's a subpage here. And this is at priceofoil.org. And so we enter chamber, Senate, and then, okay, you've got pictures and arrows and maps.
Pictures and arrows, right.
Yeah, and let's see, where is Dick Durbin in here? I think his picture's too small. There's Tim Murphy, Frederick Boucher. Anyway, it's a very interesting design here, but I don't see Durbin's picture popping up.
At any rate, people can go and identify that for themselves. But we do have a fundamental problem here, that we've seen the role that oil company and oil executive political money has had in locking down any approach to dealing with climate change by reducing our greenhouse emissions. And most notably, Nadine, it was that ugly 1-2 punch last December where the Congress passed a watered-down energy bill that was stripped of the tax on extractors that would have helped fund research and development of renewable fuels. The minor increases in the CAFE standards, the mileage standards for auto manufacturers. But then a couple of days later, the EPA came out with the second piece of this duet, which was a rejection of California's request for a waiver to permit California to tailpipe emissions in a manner that would have required higher fuel efficiency standards. We really do see that Washington is captive to the oil lobby, and despite the Sturm und Drang of this hearing, I suspect not much is going to change.
Well, it is true. We really, that's one of the reasons why we're attacking the problem the way we are. We feel it's very clear that any money from or to the oil industry should be considered a liability. A political liability, and that's why we want people to pledge basically not to support candidates that take oil money and to call on their representatives to end the subsidies to the oil industry, as well as ending our support of monies going overseas to fund oil development in developing countries.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, if you go to the Congress page and you go to the zip and name search, you can just enter Durbin's name right in there and it will show you how much money he takes. And he's pretty low down, actually. All the contributions since 2000 have only equaled $46,200.
Mm-hmm. All right. So he's relatively clean in the big scheme of things. Joe Barton of Texas is number one with $109,000 in oil contributions. In the 2000, is that just in this 2007-2008 cycle?
That's probably true. It sounds, mm-hmm. sounds like that's right.
Yeah. So where is there any relief for consumers? I was not a supporter of the McCain-Clinton summer gas tax holiday. I thought that was really insulting to the American people and counterproductive in almost every respect. But what do you believe is the right way to ease the pain of the increased price at the pump without just giving that money to oil companies or rewarding rich people who drive vehicles and are oblivious to the actual cost of the gas they pay?
Well, I think it's really an interesting thing because the way we phrase the question is really important. And the question really isn't how do we reduce the price of oil. We're talking about a finite fossilized resource that every little bit that we continue to use just adds to the devastation environmentally and the destruction of our climate, which will lead to a lower and lower quality of life for everyone here. So the question is really, how do we reduce our demand? And if you follow traditional economics, it's all about, and this is what these, you know, oil executives want us to think about, it's all about supply and demand. But when we talk about demand, we're not just talking about individuals reducing their demand, which we definitely encourage. We encourage people to be efficient, use renewables, make the choices of, bicycling or walking or taking public transportation when you can, but that's not enough. What we're talking about is actually funding the transition to a green energy economy. And so we need to replace oil with renewables, conservation, and efficiency. We need to take some of those massive windfall profits that the oil executives are putting away and turn them into the transition to the green future that will provide us green jobs, just access to, or fair access to green energy systems, and actually start to pave the way for ending our addiction to fossil fuels that drives wars and occupations like the one we have now in Iraq.
Well, and where you were yesterday, the Senate is really the flashpoint here, because it is the Senate that has blocked the taxes, the renewable fuels allocations, and we really need to work hard to turn over the Senate, elect progressives and others who will embrace the idea of changing our structure and moving on from these fossil fuels. Nadine, I've got to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
We'll continue in just a moment. We're talking with Nadine Block, got arrested in the Senate at the hearing where the oil execs showed up, and I'm glad to see she is free. We're going to talk more with her in a moment. And if you have a question or comment, call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you knowin'? I've come to work.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Continuing problems in Santa Cruz County due to a serious fire. A fire continues to burn south of Lake Elsman and north and west of Mount Madonna Park. Over 3,000 acres burned so far with 0% containment. Doesn't look like they're going to get this under control anytime soon. Your road shut down. Summit Road east of Soquel, San Jose Road. Highland Way at Summit Road and Pole Line Road at Summit Road closed. Also in Corralitos, Eureka Canyon Road at Browns Valley Road shut down. And Corralitos is closed east of Varney Road right now. SoCal San Jose Road at SoCal Turnpike Road, a tree branch hanging for some wires. That's partially blocking the roadway. Also, a grass fire felt in Quail Hollow Road at East Zianti Road. It was started by down power lines in the area, and that roadway shut down as fire department takes care of that. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect, only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. That's traffic. I'm Nate Nix on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Earlier today, we were talking with Shiva Venkat about compressed air-powered vehicles. And Charlie from Eureka didn't catch the website address. Charlie, it's zeropollutionmotors.us. That's zeropollutionmotors.us. Check it out. It's kind of neat. We continue with Nadine Block. She is with Oil Change International. Their website is priceofoil.org. That's priceofoil.org. And, Nadine, I mentioned the compressed air-powered car. It's a new technology. They hope to have those babies on American streets by about late 2009 or early 2010. And I'm kind of excited. I think that's an interesting approach. They're currently using gasoline to heat the compressed air, but there may be other ways to turn this into a completely fossil fuel-free vehicle platform. What else do you find is in development that is exciting, would help us wean our oil addiction?
Yeah, well, the compressed air car sounds fun. I'm sure that we could find a heating source that is somehow related to solar power, or perhaps even a biofuel, like a diesel heater, but mm-hmm. I would say waste oil biofuel, which I think is also, there's a lot of also very interesting things happening around the either waste oil heating units or energy units, as well as, you know, all kinds of creative things with bacteria and algae. And as well, you know, there's many ways to harness the wind and the water power that we have on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, the biggest piece of work that we have to do is not necessarily cool technology, but it relates to changing our lifestyles and being more efficient and using more renewables and recyclable things as we can.
Now, just the other day, I was behind a Mercedes diesel that had a license plate that indicated it was a biodiesel vehicle. And I'm pretty sure they filled up at KFC. It smelled extra crispy driving behind it. And Nadine, the San Francisco Chronicle reported this week that people are going around stealing the used fryer oil from greasy restaurants. There's a service that was picking it up and recycling it and, I guess, putting some additives in or some processing that refines it for use in biodiesel vehicles. And the guy kept showing up at his...
Yeah, well, I myself run a car on biodiesel and vegetable oil used from a local eatery in mm-hmm. my hometown, and I can totally understand that that could be the wave of the future. We're talking about not a totally sustainable solution here. Biofuels or anything that's just going to power independent form of transportation based on a resource that's limited is not a long-term solution. So we have to see these things as transition solutions.
Do you see any short-term way to squeeze the speculation out of the market? Is a windfall profits tax the most effective way to bring the oil companies into line on that aspect?
Well, I certainly think a windfall profits tax is a great idea. I think there will be so much pain involved, and the oil companies have so much control over the Congress, and they will convince Congress that there's so much pain for them in that it may not happen. We may never, ever get to see actual money being transferred from the oil executives to our green energy future.
Mm-hmm.
But that needs to happen. And the other thing that needs to happen is that we have to stop rewarding the oil companies for the exploration and the continued drilling that they want to do.
Yeah.
They're, you know, my personal opinion is that we should leave the fossils in the ground. We do not need to use any more fossil fuel. I don't know that that's actually a realistic solution, but that mindset might help us figure out mm-hmm. how to reduce our need and how to transition quicker rather than drilling to the ends of the earth, driving both the local environments and the global climate into the pits that we'll never be able to recover from. We need to start moving in that direction immediately.
Nadine, just a quickie, about 30 seconds as we close here. A lot of greenies say that higher gas prices help people develop the conservation field. Have older vehicles are being hammered by these huge increases.
Yeah, well, this is absolutely true, and that's why we just can't let individuals and make sure that our transportation systems can pick up the slack to encourage expansions of public forms of transportation, buses, cars, you know, not individual cars, but mm-hmm. group carpooling, and encourage people to use all of the metro systems that currently exist.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's great to meet you, Nadine, and I'm glad you're free.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm very glad to. Thanks for having me.
Nadine Block, visit the website Oil Change International. It's called, I've got it up here, it's priceofoil.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick.
You know, let me take this to a segue into a larger frame here and another issue which has to do with Hillary Clinton as well. Speaking of torture, of the John Yoo torture memos and the torture that was... I don't want to...
...each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention, and I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll free.
We're heading into the free speed on my line. For your comments right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8383. Rely on gasoline to fuel our vehicles. So I want to hear from you. Do you believe that the high price of gasoline at the pump is a good thing because it's going to force conservation? I'm worried about working families and poor people who are really crunched by this because it's taking such a huge portion of their disposable income. And I personally think we should have a tax credit to offset the increase in the cost of gasoline for low-income families.
No technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And if you're on the road to hell and you're gas guzzler, let me know what you're paying to fill up the tank, okay? I'm sure it's a hellacious price. 888-5-PETER-B. I've got lines open for you in the free speed zone, 888-573-8372. Margie's first in Oregon today. Hello, Margie. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Peter B. Well, on the South Coast, we're paying $3.96 and 9 cents.
Yeah. That's for your regular unleaded, so the
right.
Premium's up there at, you know, 410, 415?
I never even look at those prices.
Yeah. And I pity the people who need to pay the price to have somebody else pump the gas, the full serve rate. I mean, that's got to be up over 450 now.
Well, actually, that's what we have here. All of Oregon, there's some kind of law where we can't pump our own gas.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice. I get to do my female thing of sitting in the car letting some man do it.
You sexist.
Yes.
I'm calling Hillary. Hillary, I got a sexist woman here.
And I'm voting for Obama.
Hey, I want to thank Oregon for that that big plurality for Obama, including the white women, Margie.
Yes.
I really don't. I'm uncomfortable parsing the electorate into race and sex categories, but that's how it's done. And we heard how, you know, Hillary won the white, and I'm sorry, some people will add trash to it, the white vote in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And the flip was the case in Oregon, where it was just a very different outcome. So.
And I'm proud to say our area was blue for Obama on the map, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Can I switch to Chuck Hagel?
For what?
you can
mention him, sure. He makes some very interesting statements. What I'm uncomfortable with is recently on Hardball, there was an episode where they had two Democratic consultants, including a guy who I know a little bit, who's a colleague of Joe Trippi's, Steve McMahon. And Matthews walked him through all these potential candidates, none of which I thought were contenders. And they all settled on Chuck Hagel as the perfect vice presidential candidate for Barack Obama.
That's insane.
And I was just, what? I mean, they skipped Bill Richardson. They did mention John Edwards, I think, in passing. But
how about Joe Biden?
They did mention Biden, but it was bizarre to me that
it's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, there's something that has bothered me for a year and a half or two now. Remember back when potential candidates were putting out feelers, and then they would announce a date and a time when they would announce their run for the presidency.
Right.
Okay, so when Chuck Hagel was to announce his run, and I tuned in, and first of all, he was late. They were waiting and waiting, and finally he came out behind a curtain all looking like H-E-L-L.
Yeah.
Can I spell it?
Sure.
Okay.
You can even say it.
Oh, okay, he looked like hell.
Yeah.
And my mind just went reeling. I about five different possible reasons raced through my head. One of them was that maybe he'd been sleeping and someone screamed at him, "You're late, get to the podium." But then progressively, the reasons I thought of got worse and worse. I thought, well, maybe then I'm one, and because he just looked horrible, and his hair was all roughed up, and his clothes, dude, and it was just dreadful. And then I thought, well, maybe he's having a flare-up of PTSD from his Vietnam experience. I didn't know.
Maybe maybe his Cialis kicked in.
Oh, dear. But then the worst possibility occurred to me was that he could have been strong-armed and roughed up and told, no, you will not run for the presidency. Because when he got to the podium, and he wasn't talking real well, and he said that he was not going to announce his run for the presidency. And that's what the whole thing was for him to announce that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he announced that, well, I haven't decided yet. And then we never heard from him again.
Yeah. No, he's retiring and exiting the political stage. You know, I didn't observe that, so this is news to me. Maybe I can find it on YouTube or something.
Well, I'll tell you what, I only get two channels, so it was on, CBS or NBC.
Uh-huh.
I think it's CBS I get. What is 60 Minutes on?
CBS.
Yeah, that's the channel I would have watched him on.
All right, well, Margie, thanks for bringing that up. I will check into it. Hagel is very interesting to me as a Republican.
Yes.
I have no interest in him as a, a post-partisan vice presidential candidate with Obama.
Me neither. It would be a disaster.
Sure would.
Okay.
Thanks. Good to hear from you today.
Thanks. Bye.
We'll take more of your calls in just a moment at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. But first, it's time to get some news from reporter R.J. Shulman at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch. We haven't talked to him for a couple of weeks now, and the stories have been piling up. R.J., how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing?
Well, better now that I've been to check out some of the latest news at PTSD1.blog.
Decided that he does not want to be the lone wolf with this, and he's reaching out to international leaders and asking them to help him come up with a reason to invade Iran.
Well, and once again, you have the unscrubbed quote from the Mangler-in-Chief. I used up so many war reasons for when I shock and awed Iraq, Bush said, that I'll need a whole new set of good ones for shock and awing Iran.
That's right. He's going to reach out, as Presidential Press Secretary Dana Perino says, to bring together a coalition of the willing to bomb Iran.
Wow. You have another quote, unscrubbed. Americans love war, Presidents Bush said. So as I need a Kate, fresh reasons for a new war so they can forget about the last one. Also, Bush added, I get to dress up on a big boat and say mission accomplished all over again. Oh, God, this is so scary. I mean, it really seems like they do want to attack Iran, RJ.
I would be surprised if they don't. All indications from our news sources are that they will be doing it very soon.
Yeah. Now, your next story is about Hillary and Barack. We were just talking to Margie in Oregon, where Obama rolled up a big victory, and it was a lopsided victory for Clinton in Kentucky. And your reporting indicates there may be a fascinating kind of power-sharing agreement surfacing out of this.
Right. Everyone is thinking about the dream ticket of having them both on the same, you know, on the same ticket. Of course, this is not going to work out, as everybody knows. So Hillary Clinton has come up with a bold new plan, and basically said after the last primary that she would concede that Barack Obama could be president of Oregon if he could, and therefore president of all the states that she won. For example, she would get New York and be president of California, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And she said to Barack on a telephone call, and you could be president of Maine, Guam, and the Virgin Islands.
Now, RJ, what do you think about an Obama-Clinton ticket? It was interesting, on the PBS NewsHour, Nancy Pelosi was interviewed, the Speaker of the House, who's also chairing the Democratic Convention this summer, and she kind of put her Manolo Blahnik right in her mouth. She was asked if she thought there would be a ticket like this, and she said, no, I don't think so. And she started to say that she didn't think an Obama-Clinton ticket would be a winning ticket. And then she realized how bad that would be to have out there, and so she corrected herself and said, well, I just don't think it's going to happen. So do you see any prospect there? I just think that the chemistry doesn't exist.
I think that's exactly right. I think we might see a substitute at the last minute, and it wouldn't be Barack and Hillary, but Bill Clinton will change it so that it'll be Barack and Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, God.
But on the vice presidential news, I wanted to give you a scoop that no one has yet.
Oh, please.
And that's we just learned that Fox News is going to announce that Barack Obama is close to choosing a running mate, and it will be announced on Fox tomorrow that Obama is choosing the Reverend Jeremiah Wright to be his running mate.
I see. I can't wait for that one, and I'm sure Fox will have the exclusive. Sean Hannity's fingerprints will be all over that. Time for one more here, and this relates to the president's whirlwind tour of the Middle East, where he wound up in a rented villa there at Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, you know, receiving different people. And he issued a threat, according to your sources, vowing to shove democracy down the throats of Arab neighbors there.
Yeah, that's true. He got up and very displeased with the way they run their governments, and he said, and I'm quoting here, too often the Middle East has leaders who repress the oppression by putting them in jail and using extreme interrogation methods, running countries whose leaders spy on their own people, leaders who empty their coffers to give corrupt contracts to their friends, and leaders who don't trust the will of their own people. That's what he accused the Arabs of doing.
Yeah, it mirrors the charges we made about him, so it's not surprising that he would try to pass that hot potato on to some of folks in the Arab world there. Well, RJ, thank you for your excellent reporting. People can read all about it at ptsd1.blogspot.com. We've been talking with journalist RJ Shulman. Thanks, RJ.
Thanks, Peter B. Talk to you soon.
Okay, it's always a pleasure. And if you've got a YNT album around, check the fine print and see if you find the name R.J. Shulman. Let's go back to the phones. Hal in Coos Bay, welcome to the Free Speed Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Let me see. I was... First of all, isn't the possibility of Webb as a vice president high on the, you know, sights for everybody?
I think it's a possibility because the Democrats do have their eyes on Virginia as a state that could be converted from red to blue this year. Obama did well in the primary there. The downside is that Webb is a freshman. And given that Obama has been challenged on a lack of experience by both Republicans and his Democratic opponent, my guess is that that might be a factor there. I think Webb's very interesting. He's got this new GI Bill that has just survived a veto threat. And I think that he is a more conservative Democrat than many others. So it's a possibility, but I think that the freshman aspect is going to be a drawback there.
But I wanted to comment basically on the caller from the last half hour, actually not on the caller, but about the topic. What I and my friends and partners have been looking into for 8 or 9 years now is using hydrogen as an alternative fuel.
Yeah.
And just recently we came up with some people that have taken the a lot of the research that we've all been doing for 8 or 9 or 10 years or forever, really. It's been around a long, long time. We've come up with a way of energizing or supplementing whatever, if it's diesel or regular gas that people are using. I have a diesel car, Jetta, and we're going to create a product and a service, and I'm trying to get a website going to where we have the information out there to supplement fuel intake with hydrogen-oxygen mix. Created under the hood from water.
Well, and Hal, one of the things, you know, I raised the question about the impact of higher gas prices on working poor people, and it is a real hardship. But as the cost of the pump continues to rise, it...
Hi, this is Scott from your friend...
...structure isn't there to deliver it to the consumer level. But we know that as the cost of oil and gasoline goes up, it makes it more attractive to pursue these alternatives, even with heavy initial investments. And
one of the things that I was going to mention is you were talking about the stranglehold, and I think this lady was talking about it too, the stranglehold that the oil companies have on. New product. Computers, if you make a car run more efficiently, the computer will actually retard it back to making it less efficient.
Well, then all we need are some 19-year-olds to reprogram the computer.
Exactly right. Well, that's a whole other part of this, of the new paradigm, is to try and figure out how to get back at it. I mean, God, it's like...
Well, maybe some of the people who've been trained to hack into voting machines can put their efforts into something more useful. Thank you, Hal. I got to run to a break here. More calls in a moment at 888-5 Peter B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a podcast. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Checking traffic for the last time this evening on KRXA and going back up to Santa Cruz County in the mountains. Still have our fire. Over 3,000 acres burned so far. 0% containment. The wind's raging. It's going to take a while until they get this under control. Your roads that are blocked, Summit Road shut down from just east of Old Santa Cruz Highway out to Mount Madonna Road. Highland Way and Pole Line Road shut down at Summit. In Corralitos, Eureka Canyon Road and Browns Valley Road are closed. And Corralitos Road is shut down just east of Varney Road right now. Some heavy traffic from an earlier crash. Southbound 101, you're seeing those brake lights from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down to San Martin Avenue. That accident that was in the center divide has been moved out of your way. Also, San Ardo, South 101 before Paris Valley Road. Several pieces of firewood scattered in the lanes. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners through June buy 4 tires matched to your Toyota by their trained technicians and receive a gas card worth $50. Road hazard coverage included. Visit participating Toyota dealers for details. Have a great night. I'm Nate, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues referred by the court system. Clients are provided with group and one-on-one sessions that focus on living life alcohol and drug-free, relapse prevention, parenting skills, and anger management. Sun Street also addresses family issues, conflict resolution, and introduces the 12-step program. Clients can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Go to sunstreetcenters.com to sign up. Don't wait. sunstreetcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to take a moment here to acknowledge that Dennis Richmond, a Bay Area news anchor on television, signed off last night for the final time. He has been anchoring news programs on San Francisco Oakland television station KTVU for 40 years. And he fronted the best commercial television newscast that I've seen in a long time. And despite the blood and guts and the tabloid sensibilities of many local TV news operations, Channel 2 and Dennis Richmond maintained a fairly high standard. And as an African-American anchor who used to sport a huge afro, I just give him a whole lot of credit. He broke many barriers. He always maintained his dignity and his credibility as a journalist. And he's riding off in a golf cart into the sunset. And I just want to salute Dennis Richmond on the occasion of his retirement. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. And Joe joins us from Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, you're right. Dennis Richmond did do a good job there. I always thought the Channel 2 news was excellent whenever I seen it.
Yeah.
But you know about that recount movie? Was it going to be on HBO?
Yeah, it's supposed to show on HBO this Sunday, right?
Well, or, I don't know.
It's either this Sunday or a week from Sunday, and I'm going to watch it.
Well, have you heard Samuel L. Jackson is in it? He plays the part of the Solstice Workers Party presidential candidate.
No, I didn't know that.
And there's a part in the movie where he's asked about the whole mess going on there in Florida for the presidential election, and he says, "I hope they all lose, and they can all go burn in hell."
Well, and who's playing Catherine Harris? I saw an ad for it, and I can't recall right now, but it's somebody pretty cool. So,
well, I don't think Madonna was available, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be a fictional dramatization, but I think it'll be interesting, and maybe it will open some eyes. Now, did you hear Senator Clinton's comments yesterday about how it's important to bend the rules of the Democratic process to count the votes in Florida? It would not increase her delegate count enough to change the outcome, but she keeps barnstorming and suggesting that whoever wins the most popular votes should be elected, and she even invoked Al Gore's loss in 2000 for the first time I've ever heard. I never heard Bill or Hillary ever utter a peep about how that election was stolen and how the Democrats bungled the post-election contesting in Florida in 2000.
Well, I'd watch out for Hillary. Clinton's got a lot of Cuban exile friends down there in Miami. This thing ain't over yet. But speaking of crooks, you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, but speaking of crooks, so
I caught your segue.
When is John Conyers going to step up to the plate? I mean, that's nice that, you know, he talks tough when he's not on camera, and he talks about kicking Carl Rove's butt. But I mean, how about calling him in and kicking his butt?
Well,
Joe,
today they did issue a subpoena for Carl Rove to testify before the House Judiciary Committee.
Okay, so
however,
this thing is actually going to happen?
Well, no. Rove's going to take it to court and tie it up until the president is out of office and people have stopped caring.
Well, okay, anyway, I, 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 hope he goes through with it. I hope he doesn't back down like he did on the impeachment thing.
Yep.
It's about time they started acting tough instead of just talking tough.
I'm with you, Joe. Thanks for the call. Now to Michigan, where D.B. Cooper is online. Be sure to get those parachute lines straightened out, D.B.
Yeah, I still haven't been able to spend all the money there. D.B.?
What's up?
Well, I heard you say that when you were 12, you had an idea for a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah, that's right. I made a little go-kart with a lawnmower engine to get me off the line, and I attached two generators to and had a 12-volt battery there.
Yep.
And I was in the R&D phase when the guy that I was working with at the hardware store, Howard, said,
yeah,
you know, Peter, there's no such thing as perpetual motion.
Well, it's all about friction.
Right, yeah.
I had the same idea, and I'm thinking I was 7 years old, but that's when I learned how to solder and make electrical things, you know.
Oh, at seven, I was taking bare copper wire and putting it into the electrical outlet when my mom stopped me.
Oh, good for her. But on a more practical note, I mean, there's still a way to have perpetual motion. You just got to eliminate friction.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And there are a lot of good lubricants out there. So try them out over this long weekend and get back to me, DB, will you? Jeff in Pacific Grove says that the 76 diesel fuel is under $5 a gallon. In Carmel Valley, it's $5.35.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill, Brian Urban on the phones today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The Religious Right and Built an American Kingdom. The forewords by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Severe weather in the west today. In Colorado, a tornado swept through towns north of Denver.
Huge funnel cloud, probably half mile in diameter.
My motorhome is just rocking.
One person was killed and several others injured. Many homes and businesses were destroyed. Lou Ann Aiken is a chopper reporter for KCNC-TV.
There was a lot of debris, and that certainly becomes a major issue anytime you have a tornado like this. It's just the flying rockets, basically, that some of this debris turns into. And that's one thing that causes so much damage.
And very unusual weather in Southern California at this hour, where tornado warnings have been issued.
This is crazy. I've never seen anything like this in my life in California.
Listener John Grew describing on CBS station KNX what he believes was a twister in Riverside County.
It was 600 to 700 feet in the air, just coming out of an enormous black cloud. And from where I was at, which was about 2 miles away, all I could see was just an enormous cloud of dust.
A reminder from federal officials today.
The Atlantic hurricane season is only 10 days away.
Government forecasters say their best prediction is that there will be 12 to 16 named storms and 2 to 5 major hurricanes. That's normal to slightly above average. An appeals court ruled today the Texas authorities had no right to remove children from a polygamous compound. CBS News correspondent Hari Srinivasan brings us up to date.
The court ruled there was no evidence for immediate removal of all the children because the state failed to show any immediate danger to the physical health or safety of the children. That belief in polygamy and underage marriage does not by itself put the children in urgent danger. The state maintained that the 1,700-acre ranch was all one household. If one child was in danger, they all were. But the court today disagreed.
Lawmakers say they're frustrated by explanations from oil industry executives as to why oil and gas prices are so high.
Our constituents are angry.
California Congresswoman Maxine Waters correspondent Nancy Cordes has more.
With gas hitting a new high almost daily, some members of Congress pleaded with the Energy Secretary today to release the nation's 700 million barrel emergency stockpile. His